Bibles up to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 13. Continuing our series of Brother Knows Best. Remember, the writer of the book of James is James, the half-brother of Jesus. So he would have grown up with seeing he grew up watching God grow up in bodily form. And there's so much wisdom in this book. And this morning, I want to talk about customer service. One of my pet peeves is bad customer service. I mean, and I don't want to name any places because there's nothing worse than going into a business and you're non-existent. And you go in and no one asks any questions. If you wanted to see customer service, you should have seen our guys downstairs yesterday. I'm serious. They were helping people pick out stuff and making deals and bringing it up and packing it. I mean, there was customer service downstairs yesterday that I was impressed with because, you know, people make their impressions based upon those first few minutes when they meet you or come into a place. And I was so impressed with the way we handled it. And I grew up working for my dad, and his big deal was customer service. So when someone would walk into our ice cream stores, we would greet them with the phrase, "Welcome to Ashburn's, can I help you?" Now, my dad had this other thing that I don't totally agree with. He had this saying that he taught us. I understand what he meant, but it's not true. He used to say the customer is always right. Now, that's not true. The customer is not always right. But what he meant when he said that, it was our job to make them think they were right, even when they were wrong. I mean, when there was a mess up, we had to try to get things under control. And so, you know, customer service was very important at our stores. And that was one of the hardest things to motivate teenagers to do, care about whoever came into the place. And I looked up 9 tips for providing excellent customer service, and I agree. Number 1, know your product or service. I mean, when I go into Home Depot or when I go into Lowe's and I ask a question, I need you to know what I'm talking about because I don't know what I'm talking about, you know? Now, I'm just thinking about the church. Do you know what our product is here? It's Jesus. And one of the things I hope that you know is that you know about our product. Because that's why we exist, people. We don't exist to sing and come here and listen to me. We exist to worship Jesus and to share Jesus naturally with other people. But that was number 1. Number 2, now this is crazy, be friendly. You wouldn't think you would have to tell people that. And I even said smile. Even better, laugh. And there's nothing worse than to go into a business and they're just lifeless. They don't, you know, there's no smile. And, you know, I even knew at my dad's place when I'd see certain people come in my heart I was thinking, oh no, you know, but they come in, "Hey, can I help you?" And I care. But that is important, right? For customer service in the church. Let me just tell you, laugh. Be nice. Slap someone on the shoulder. I never know whether a squirt's going to elbow me up here. I'm always, when he's coming up to get the offering, I never know what he's fixing to do. I mean, you know. You say, "Oh, we're in God's house." When you leave outside and go outside, you're still in God's house because you are God's house. But be friendly, laugh, be nice. Say thank you. It's another tip. Be nice. If you're a guest here, if you're coming to church, I honestly thank you. You could have gone somewhere else or you could have not gone anywhere. Another tip was train your staff. So I'm saying smile and say thank you and be nice to people when they come in here. Show respect. Every person is worthy of respect. just because they're a human. Listen to them. That's another one. Listen to what they're saying. And they will tell you it's not so much what they say, but listen to what they don't say. Listen with your eyes. Watch them. So very important. Be responsive. They ask a question, try to help them. Same way in the church. Be responsive. Not too long ago, there was a lady visiting, and I could tell from the moment she walked in those front doors, she didn't have a clue where she was going. And I'm just training y'all. This is training, customer service. If you see someone and they don't know where they're going and you don't know them in the town of Mount Ida, that means you need to ask them if you can help them and listen to what they say. And she said, I'm looking for Geneva's class. So I said, Geneva, she's normally here. I guess she slept in this morning. But Geneva was the only Sunday she was running a little late and her visitor came because she invited her. But I could tell she didn't know where she was. This building is complicated. I couldn't tell you how to get to most places in here. Ask for feedback. We used to, on our guest cards in Dallas when I was a pastor there, we would ask for feedback. Were you greeted? Were the people nice to you? Did they ask questions? Any suggestions? We would stamp them and they were supposed to mail them back to us. And sometimes they would say, not a single soul said hello to us. So you know what I would do? I'd stand up on a Sunday morning and say, this is unacceptable. Unacceptable. We need to understand that whether we like it or not, what we're into here in Mount Ida at First Baptist, we're into customer service. And the product we have is Jesus Christ. And so in the passage this morning for James chapter 2, verses 1 through 13, he's basically teaching us how to treat people, how to respond to people who walk into this church. And it's such good advice. And let's look beginning in verse 1. He says, my brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, get this, this is a command. I have it underlined in my Bible. Don't show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting. He's given us an illustration. Wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. If you show special attention, if you make a big deal about the man wearing fine clothes and say, here's a good seat for you, just picture Sam Walton walking in. We'd all be excited because we'd think if he would just tithe one time, our budget would be met for life. Everybody would be wanting to meet Sam Walton, right? Because he probably wouldn't be dressed up fancy, but you know. But look at what he's saying. Here's a good seat for you. But you say to the poor man, you stand there. It's pretty impersonal. Sam, you sit up here. Poor person, back in the back somewhere or over here. Just, you know, we don't really care is basically what they're saying. And then he says, or sit on the floor by my feet. Have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers. Has God not chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised to those who love him? But you have insulted the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are standing, slandering the noble name of him to whom you belong? And then I love verse 8. It says, if you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbors as yourselves, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convinced by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is really guilty of breaking it all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. If you If you do not commit adultery, but do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. Then he says in verse 13, speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Several things in here. Number one, please don't miss this. People are our business. We exist to reach people. If your church exists for the people that are just in here, it's missing the point. We're in the people business. Anybody that walks into this church is our target. And they talk about, do you have a target on who your church is trying to reach? It ought to be any person that is alive. And we need to understand James is speaking to his Christian brothers and sisters, and he's commanding them not to show favoritism. Favoritism, according to the Bible, according to James, the half-brother of Jesus, is a very serious sin. Favoritism is a word that comes from the Greek that carries the idea of judging by appearance and on that basis giving special attention or respect. In other words, favoritism is when you look at somebody and you choose to treat them differently according to what you see. In ancient societies, during the time that this was written, it was perfectly within their culture to respect wealthy people, people with power, people with position. It was just expected. If a rich person came into your church, in that culture, in that day, it would be normal, according to the culture, to make a big deal about it. But then James comes along, and what had happened is the churches had started making a big deal about the rich people and giving them special favor. And then James comes along and says, that's sin. That's wrong. Do not do that. People are our business. And the reason they are our business is that's the whole purpose of why Christ died. He died for everyone. And I want us to understand as a church, when anyone comes into this church, regardless of the label that they wear, they are welcome here. Regardless of the color of their skin, they are welcome here. If you judge people when they walk in, do not judge them. Don't show special attention to those people who you like what you see. Too many times we as Christians judge people according to the outward appearance, and we don't understand that every person is valuable in God's sight. People are our business, and if the church misses that, we miss why we exist. And so when someone walks in, make a big deal about it, because it is a big deal. Don't be thinking in your heart, oh, you're not welcome here. We know your past. We know what you've done. You wear several labor. No, you want to welcome. Who is the only person that can change someone that has problems? The only solution in the entire world is found in this book, and it's Jesus Christ. So people are our business. In Deuteronomy 10:17, it says this, For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome. And here's what I like. Who shows no partiality, and he accepts no bribes. In other words, God created every living being, so he is not partial. People are our business. And we need to understand that, and we need to respect that, and we don't need to show favoritism. The second thing, don't focus on the outward appearance. He says, what you guys are doing is someone comes in, and it says in your translation he has a ring on his finger, but in the Greek, it literally means he's covered up in gold rings. And in that day, the way to look important was to have gold rings on your on your fingers, and you could actually go out and rent rings to wear to special occasions. And so he's saying that guy that walks in that is gold-fingered is literally what it means. He has rings and he has fine clothes. Understand, it is wrong to focus on someone's outward appearances. The word fine clothes literally means bright or shining. He's got something that gets your attention. And he says to those Christians, he says, those people who look good on the outside, don't make a big deal about it. And then he said, here's the problem. A poor man comes in and you put him in the corner. A rich man comes in and you give him the best seat in the house. Because in our culture, we love wealth. We think people who have money are better. We all want to be wealthier than what we are. That's the culture speaking. The truth is, your wealth has nothing to do with your pocketbook. But in the early church, James was having a problem. They were making a big deal about wealthy people. And I'm going to be the first to tell you, in my life, I have watched preachers in churches play to the wealthy people. I've seen it all my life. Now, I've got news for you. I don't know how much money you have, and I don't really care. Because that doesn't make you valuable to me. What makes you valuable to me is you. People. And yet in our culture, we celebrate the wealthy. We aspire to be like them. If we just had more money, if we just had more this and that, we would be happy. That's such a lie, and that's how our culture trains us. And then we look at poor people, and we don't want to get around them because we don't know what to do with them. They make us uncomfortable. And we think in our head, they must have not done something right. Or they're lazy. And let me just tell you, I don't understand a lot of things about people who are poor. I don't. But here's what I do know. God loves them just as much as that person who's wealthy. He just doesn't see it. And we need to be careful to not focus on the outside of what people are wearing. Listen, some of the meanest people I've met were church people who looked nice on the outside. I'm just being honest. And they could quote scripture. And people would focus on that. We can't focus on the outside of people. We need to understand that showing favoritism to people based on what they wear or how much money they have is wrong. As a matter of fact, James says, rich people will throw you in jail and rich people will sue you. And that is the truth. Rich people have lawyers looking for an opportunity to get even with you or to put you out of business. Poor people don't think about lawyers necessarily. Unless one chases them down and tries to have a plan for how they can sue somebody. Our goal is to treat all people with respect. And we need to understand it. You're not going to get respect by looking on the outside. Sandy Pannell was a guy that went to my church in Horatio. I went to Horatio, and one Sunday morning, we're sitting in church, and this guy with bushy hair, unkept hair, a white t-shirt and blue jeans, came walking in the back door, and he'd sit in the back. And our people, honestly, were a little scared of him, I think. But Sandy would come every single week. He got to be a regular fixture. And then he told me one day, he actually spoke, because I don't care if you have money, I'll talk to anybody because people have value. So one Sunday I was talking to Sandy, just trying to figure him out. And he said, you know what? I come to this church because of the children's sermon. And I thought, what an insult to me. I mean, you know, I work all this time on a sermon. He goes, I love the children's sermon. It speaks to me. So Sandy kept coming. He'd be here ever since. He'd on the left side, T-shirt. And at First Baptist Horatio, probably a T-shirt and blue jeans were looked down on. A little bit later, I got to know him. And guess what? Sandy placed his faith in Jesus Christ. And so I got to know Sandy. I said, well, tell me your story. Everybody has a story. And Sandy said this to me. He said, when I was a kid, I used to go to church, but my family was very, very poor. And all I had was a pair of blue jeans and a T-shirt. And so I went to church one Sunday, and they got on to me because I had a T-shirt on and a pair of blue jeans. And I didn't go for many, many years. And your church was the first church that I came back to. And Sandy was baptized, and he came every week because of the children's sermon. And he was my neighbor. He was two doors down on the same street. But you know what the tragedy was? That church that told that young boy that wanted that church that he wasn't welcome because he had a T-shirt and blue jeans on, that's bad. I know that used to be the culture of the church, but it may have been a wrong culture. That kid, what if Sandy would have never gave church a second chance because they condemned him of wearing a T-shirt and blue jeans? What if? That's a pretty serious bit. So if someone walks in here, you know what? Jesus' day, the poor man that is referred to in this story, he had only one outfit. So with one outfit in that time, when you would come to church, you would be what? Dirty, stains, you didn't have but one outfit. And that's why James is saying, when someone walks in like that, don't shun them. Love them. And we get so caught up on focusing on people, on their outward appearances. And it's just wrong. As a matter of fact, he goes in on to say, this is a serious sin. Don't discriminate based on what you see. Don't especially discriminate against someone who's poor. Here's the third thing. Remember the golden rule. Here's the key. This is what James says. This is the supreme rule. He says, if you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, here it is, right here. This will change your life. Love your neighbor as yourself. Don't treat your neighbor the way you would want to be treated. Treat people the way... I want to be treated with respect. I want to be treated with forgiveness. I want to be treated with kindness. I want to be treated with love. I want to be... That's what I want to be treated with. So what does James say? That's the way you treat people. When someone ticks you off, you think, well, how should I respond? How would I want someone to respond to me? The golden rule, the supreme rule, is you treat people the way you want to be treated. And a lot of what I see out there is not exactly that. Either that or people are sadistic and want people to treat them poorly. You might ask the question, who is your neighbor? Your neighbor's anybody within close proximity to you. Your neighbor can be that guy walking on the street. Your neighbor could be, it's whoever you come into contact with. What James is saying, remember the golden rule, treat them the way you would want to be treated. And that's the highest law. I don't see that a lot of times. We treat people not the way we want to be treated. You know, John, he wrote in John 13, verses 34 and 35, this is how you will know that we are Christians. Listen, guys, listen. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. And then he says this, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you what? Know the Bible? No. If you love one another. That is the sign of being a Christian. If you love one... Yeah, that's what Jesus said. And then in Galatians 6, verses 9 and 10, he says this. He says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. The problem is we give up. And then he says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good, underline, to all people, not just church people. Do you understand we're responsible for the people that aren't here? To be nice to them? He goes on to say, especially to those who belong to the family of God. In other words, it's okay to be good to each other, but we are under obligation to also treat other people well. To help other people. Treat people with love and respect. That's the golden rule. Treat people the way you want to be treated. And then the fourth thing that is found in this passage, and here it is, wrong is wrong. Favoritism, judging people by their outward appearances, is wrong. It's a serious sin. And he talks about it. It is a serious sin to look at people and judge them by how much money they have or by whether they are important. It's wrong. And I'm going to tell you this, and I struggle with this because I want to be gentle and I want to be kind. But I'm telling you this. If it's a person of a different color or nationality, you better not discriminate against them. Discrimination is wrong. Let me tell you something. Biblically, and I, you know, this is the thing. Do you know God created black people, Hispanics, white people? Do you know He created every single one in His image? You know, that's what the Bible says. So you better treat them like they're God's creation. I know we're in the South. I've been in Arkansas before, and I've been in Louisiana before. But I remember one time when I was in Horatio, they called me to go talk to a guy. Why do people call them preachers to talk to people and not just talk to them themselves? But I went and talked to him. I'm going to tell you, I was with a guy that was a racist. You don't know much about me, but I'm not very racist. Matter of fact, I ordained the first black Baptist deacon at Maplewood Baptist Church at their 120th anniversary. And you know why? He's black on the outside, but he was godly on the inside. What do you do with that? Some of them were against it because he was what? How did they know he was black? They saw him and they judged him. He's one of my best friends to this day. I know y'all. Some of y'all grew up in an older time, and my dad, he struggled a little bit with it, even though he taught me. But I'm just saying wrong is wrong. Never judge a person, a poor person. Never judge a person by what you see, because every person you see is one of God's people that He created in His image. That's biblical. And I can't change that. I wish I could. For some people, you know, and I've met people in life. Don't show favoritism to someone because they have money. Don't show favoritism to someone because they have power, they have position. I just don't do that, people. And my problem is I can talk to anyone forever. And I could care less how much money you have or how powerful you are. And one thing you can ask about people who have known me is I treat everybody the same, because you know what? That's what the Bible teaches. Treat people with respect. Wrong is wrong. And a lot of times in the church, we make certain wrongs respectable sins. It's okay because we do it. And then the final thing, speak and act like a believer. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. Listen, the reason I have such grace upon people that make mistakes in their lives is because I've made so many myself. Listen, you're not going to get any judging from me. I'm here standing before you as one who is the biggest recipient of God's grace. And let me tell you, when I meet people, I don't look down on them. You know, it may be the only difference between me and them is the grace of God. He finally got a hold of me. It took him a while. Listen, there were some days that were pretty bad in Bill Ashburn's life. But you know what? I have a God of grace who forgave me. And so therefore, when I see other people, I want to give them the grace that I found. And I want to be a grace giver, not someone who gives out judgment. Why? Because of my grace giver. And so I think what James is saying is such a powerful thing. He's saying to, I think, First Baptist Mount Ida, treat people with respect. Treat people with dignity and realize you've got the hope that they need if they're going to change. Make them feel loved. And you will only do that if you've really experienced God's love yourself. When you've got a hold of the grace, you want other people to know about it. What kind of customer service do we have here? I hope it's like James talks about. Y'all are some of the kindest people I've ever met. My challenge is, let's keep on doing it, and let's find people that we can love and give the hope that we have. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for James. It's a hard book because, Lord, we play favorites. We show favoritism. We treat people differently, especially if they're very wealthy and we can benefit from them. Father, may we always treat everybody as one of your creations. And may we realize that we have the hope that they so desperately need. Help us to be that kind of people that live by the law, the supreme law, that loves their neighbor as themselves. Help us to be different. Help us to not be like everybody else. I ask this in Jesus' name.